It wasn't the screaming that broke me. It was the silence, that heavy, curated Parisian silence that sits in the back of a high-end architectural firm like a thick fog. I walked into that office at 24. A proud Moroccan woman with a degree that said I belonged and a fire in my gut that said I'd conquer. I didn't know then that I wasn't being hired for my eye for structural integrity. I was being hired to be the exotic silhouette in the background of their diversity brochures. By the time I realized the game, the exit doors were already locked from the outside. The first month felt like a dream, or maybe just a very well-executed hallucination. My boss, Julian, was the archetype of French sophistication: linen shirts, expensive espresso, and a smile that never quite reached his eyes. He called me his breath of fresh air in front of the board. He told me my perspective was vital. He handed me the lead on the Saint-Germain project, a career maker. I felt invincible. I felt seen. I didn't realize I was actually being positioned as the primary fall guy for a project that was already hemorrhaging 3 million euros in unaccounted expenses. The shift happened on a Tuesday. I remember the smell of burnt coffee and the sound of Chloe's heels clicking toward my desk. Chloe was the golden girl, the one whose family name was etched into the history of the 5th arrondissement. She dropped a file on my desk with a smirk that made my skin crawl. It was a revised budget. My signature was on the bottom of the final page, a digital signature I hadn't authorized, authorizing a series of consultation fees to a shell company in Marseille. I looked up at her, my heart hammering against my ribs like a trapped bird. She didn't say a word. She just leaned in, tucked a stray hair behind my ear, and whispered that we should all be careful about our digital footprints. That's when the gaslighting began. In meetings, I'd present a design, and Julian would look at me with this pitying tilt of the head. He'd ask if I was feeling too emotional, or if the cultural adjustment was becoming too much. The white French cast around the table would nod in unison, a synchronized ballet of condescension. They started speaking faster, using slang they knew I hadn't mastered yet, laughing at jokes that always seemed to end with a glance in my direction. I was being erased in real time. Every morning, I'd look in the mirror and see my Moroccan heritage, not as a badge of honor, but as a target. I started doubting my own memory. Did I sign that paper? Did I misinterpret that email? The backstabbing became the ambient noise of my life. I'd walk into the break room, and the conversation would snap shut like a guillotine. I'd find my files deleted, my appointments moved without notice, and my lunch scented with the spices of home, tossed in the trash because the smell was distracting. The scariest part wasn't the cruelty, it was how quickly I started to expect it. I became a ghost in my own life, navigating the office with my head down, documenting every single interaction like a private investigator. I was surviving, but I was becoming someone I didn't recognize. Someone cold, someone paranoid, someone who looked at every smile as a concealed blade. The point of no return arrived during the final audit of the Saint-Germain project. Julian called me into his office, the walls lined with awards he'd stolen from better people. He told me the Marseille authorities were looking into the consultation fees. He said he wanted to protect me, but the paper trail was difficult. He offered me a settlement, a pittance, in exchange for my immediate resignation and a signed confession of administrative oversight. He sat there, sipping his Sancerre at 11 a.m., looking at me like I was a smudge on his window. I felt the heat rise from my toes to my throat. It wasn't just anger, it was the ancestral weight of every woman who had been told to be grateful for the crumbs. I didn't cry, I didn't scream. I reached into my bag and pulled out a digital recorder I'd been carrying for 3 months. I played the audio from the night of the Christmas party, the night Julian, three glasses in, bragged to Chloe about how the little Moroccan was the perfect shield for their Marseille kickbacks. The color drained from his face, leaving him looking like a cheap plaster cast of a man. I walked out that day. No settlement, no confession. Just the recording and the names of every board member who had looked the other way. I survived it, but I didn't leave untouched. My sleep is still fractured, and I still flinch when I hear a certain tone of French arrogance. But I learned the most terrifying lesson of all. You can adapt to anything, even the poison, as long as you remember where you hid the antidote. I'm out now, and the only thing I left behind was the girl who thought the world played fair.